Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Every New Year's Eve, we pick out a watchword for the church, and we hope that that watchword will take us through the year and inform what we do. And this year's watchword I really like. I think it's one of the favorites of preachers because we get to guilt people into something. But I hope I don't make you feel guilty today. I hope that I inspire you. The watchword is, let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. Now, this comes from a book called Hebrews, and it's not a very popular book to preach on. There are a few verses that people pick out because they're particularly inspirational, but if you read the whole book, it's like a theological tome. It was written by a scholar to a group of scholars. You can tell by the way it's written that it's not your typical New Testament book. It's not talking about practicalities, it's talking about theology. And so there's the great theology of the priesthood and atonement and what the sacrifice of Jesus means. There's the theology of how we are to approach God, and it's very, very deep. Someday, perhaps, I'll do a Bible study on Hebrews. But then you get to this particular verse, and it's crystal clear. It's not really deep at all. It's very practical. And that is the one thing that we have to remember when we're looking at any biblical passage. The spirituality is important, the theology is important, but if it does not translate to practicality, then we're missing the point. Our life in Christ is not about feeling good about ourselves. Our life in Christ is not about just what I get out of a Sunday morning service. Our life in Christ is about what and how I respond to the Word of God. And I love the language that he uses. He doesn't say, suggest to each other how we might be good people and do good stuff. He says, provoke. Oh, I love that word. What does that mean? Get a cattle prod. Spur one another on. Don't be shy about it. We've got to provoke each other to love and good works. And I believe that he used that kind of language because what we do as followers of Jesus is vitally important. And if one of us feels that what I do is not important, it doesn't matter if I show my faith outside of these church walls, then somebody is not getting a message from me. And I'm not talking about taking our Bible and thumping people over the heads. I'm talking about demonstrating the love and the mercy and the grace of God when we leave here today. Provoke one another. Get a cattle prod and provoke each other to good works. When I was a young adult, I was the quintessential church person. I loved being in church. I was in church every Sunday. And when I came to the Moravians and I was involved in that fellowship, I just loved being in church and around people that loved me, that cared about me. And I volunteered to be a Sunday school teacher because I liked doing that. I was in the choir. And those were all wonderful things. And one time my pastor came to me and he said, Dawn, I want you to be part of a new group. It's called an evangelism workshop. Now, I had no real interest in this. However, I thought, you know, it would be good to have that knowledge just in case somebody on the street stops me and says, what do you think about Jesus? I can tell them why. At that off chance, I will have this experience. So I went to the first workshop, and a few of my friends were there, and it was a really nice group of people, small group. He had hand-selected them, so of course I felt pretty important to be hand-selected. Until he said, "This is a workshop," which means you learn and then you go out. Well, that was not what I wanted to do. That was not my gift, and I thought, how am I going to get out of this? So I made an appointment with my dear pastor, and I started saying very churchy things. You know those things, I don't feel this is my gift. I don't feel that I'm called to do this. And I rambled on and blathered on about all the churchy reasons I couldn't do this because, you know, he didn't give me those gifts. And my pastor listened patiently and then said, well, it's up to you. You can quit this group anytime. But then when you say you are ready and you tell God you're ready, God might just say to you, but I needed you then, and you let me down. Talk about provoking. That was dirty pool. He was guilting me into something, so I stayed. And I wasn't sure that I was going to disappoint God so much, but I really did not want to disappoint the pastor. And I have to tell you, the times we went out, we didn't go out just on the street. We had contacts, people that we knew of, people that were sending their children to our church. They were all people that knew about us that we went to. We weren't silver-tongued. We stumbled a lot. And I'm not sure we saved anybody's soul. But I can tell you one thing. It taught me that church is not only in these pews, but it's out where people are in need. And every person we went to, regardless of the outcome, was so appreciative that somebody cared enough to walk through their doors. Spur one another on. If it wasn't for that experience, I am not sure that I would be where I am today. I needed to learn that church is not only in here, but out there. Spur one another on to good deeds. It's important. It's vitally important, not only for the people that we're conferring our good deeds onto, but for our sake. We need to do this. And then the second part of that is just as important, not neglecting to meet together. So even in the first century church, people had stopped going. So we don't need to feel too bad today. This is a trend that's happened from the beginning. People stopped. It said, don't neglect to meet together as the habit of some. Because it's impossible. We have this attitude today that I can be spiritual without being religious. I can be spiritual and connect to God at home. I don't need anybody. But I'm here to tell you that the greatest movements of justice did not come because somebody was sitting at home alone. It came in community. Think of all the great movements of our time. The civil rights movements happened in churches, people in community. Why is government so broken today? It's because ideology has taken over community. When people, even if they're on opposite sides of the ideological spectrum, when they're together, when they form friendships and community, then things can happen. But if we are in our little cocoons at home in front of the TV or the computer, we're not going to accomplish much. We need each other, even when we aggravate each other to death. We need each other. It's something that God's created. He's created us to be in community. Don't give up on community. It's so vitally important. And when you look around and you see people who are not here today, either because of illness or because of the weather, or for whatever reason, this week, go to that person and form church in a restaurant or over a cup of coffee or over the phone, because Jesus promised that where two or three are gathered, I'm in the midst. So we can do church outside of this building. Don't neglect to meet together, even if it's just one or two that get together. There are some people who would love to be here today and cannot, and we can bring the church out to them. What a wonderful verse of scripture for this church in 2015. Let's get the cattle prods out, and let's start spurring each other to good works and good deeds outside of this building. And let's come together on Sunday morning and over coffee during the week to love each other, to be in community, and to work for the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that the great messages of salvation are not just for me as an individual, but for this world. And we thank you, Lord, that you called us to go out into the world and to be your gospel. And we ask, O Lord, this year that Ephraim Moravian Church will demonstrate the grace, the love, and the mercy of God to whomever we meet. In Jesus' name, amen.